this morning. I have been speaking on lately the condition of the church. We've used many references. We've used especially Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, where the disciples come to Jesus and they're on the Mount of Olives and they say to Jesus, tell us about the end of the world and about your coming. And we know according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we don't have to be in darkness, that we're not in darkness, so that day does not have to overtake us as a thief. And we have looked and we have seen that the Holy Spirit, according to Joel 2, 28 and 29, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons, your daughters, your handmaidens, your servants, upon all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. That God is willing that no one should perish, but everyone should come to repentance and a knowledge of him. And he wants to move in our lives, and he wants to do great things in our lives. And that's kind of what we've been talking about. But we've been talking about how America, especially America, has kind of not accepted maybe this move of God that's been happening. And we want the Lord to know that there are people still that are hungry for a move of God, that are thirsty for a move of God. And I believe with all of my heart, as God is moving in China, as God is moving in all of Asia, and God is moving in South America, and God is moving in Africa, that God is going to move once again in America. And I believe he's going to pour his spirit out upon America. And I don't know why it can't start right here in Mooresville, Indiana. We're looking for a move of God. And we're expecting revival right now. We want God to move right now. Amen? And so anyway, with all that in mind, we're going to continue on the condition of the church, but just kind of with the things that, there's something that's significant happened this week, and maybe you watched it, maybe you got tired of watching it, as I did, but I did watch it enough to know this. There was someone this week that visited America, he was from Italy, and you probably seen it on the news if you watched the news any at all. And what is that? That's a mini me right there. Amen. And you have noticed thousands, literally hundreds of thousands lining streets and going to, he of course was at the Capitol and spoke in front of the joint sessions of Congress. And so pretty significant. You might think, well, not a big deal. Big deal. Really was a big deal. People from all over traveled to see the Pope, Pope St. Francis, they call him. Pope Francis, they call him. And it is significant, and we don't want to demean him or demean the Catholic Church, but very significant. People from all over America came to visit, and were looking, and that's kind of my first point, talking about the church. And if we think about this for a moment, that according to Pew Research, and we've done all the statistics, that about 4.7 out of 100 people are truly born again and ready to go to heaven. 4.7 out of 100. So you could say 4.5 or 5 people out of 100. 9 out of 100 are truly born again. So you can see for the first time in our history, America's history, that the church, that people in America, under 50% now claim church affiliation. For the first time in America's history, 200-year history, over 50% of Americans claim no church affiliation. That's significant. That's significant. And because this, as we've seen this happen this week, I want you to know something. People are looking. People are looking. There is a stirring of the waters, as we talked about last week, and we're going to talk about a little bit at the end of the sermon today. There is a troubling. There's something going on in the world today, and you don't have to be really keen on your spiritual observing eyes to see. There's stuff going on, and it's significant. There are things happening in the world today, especially in America. You can almost see the tide. If you were kind of maybe raised in the Midwest and raised in a semi-culture in the Midwest of godly fear and understanding that a little bit, you can see the tide from the east to the west, almost that there's an anti-Christ, anti-Christian attitude. Everybody follow me? You really see it. And so if you're not aware of that, that's fine, but I can see it. I was born and raised right around here, and you can almost see an anti-God, anti-Christian God. And so I wanted to show you some of these pictures because I believe people are really looking for answers. I believe that people are looking for answers. I believe that there are many questions in our lives and we don't understand. And so we're looking for answers, and we'll look to someone that would say there's some sort of spiritual leader, and people will go and look to that person, and they're looking for forgiveness. People are looking for forgiveness, and why do I bring that up? Because I truly believe people are looking for something that will soothe their conscience and soothe their heart, soothe their soul, and so they're looking for some sort of peace. There's nothing, by the way, that compares to the peace of God. Nothing comparing to the peace of, not a religion, but to the peace of God. The Bible says it passes all human comprehension. You know what I'm talking about? In the midst, anybody can lay their head on the pillow when they've had a great day, when everything's gone fine. But how about laying your head on the pillow when you've had a horrible day, when your children's in the hospital or something's going terribly wrong, the economy's sunk? There's something about saying, I still have peace in God, and laying your head on a pillow saying, you know what? God's got it all under control. That's why it's called peace without, that goes beyond human comprehension, because we as humans can't comprehend the idea of only a God kind of peace. But that is really what people are looking for. And they're searching for answers. They're searching. They have many questions. And they're searching for forgiveness. They're searching for peace. They're searching for hope. I believe today people are looking for hope that they'll never find here on this earth unless they find Jesus Christ. You see, this, what I'm talking about, isn't from a pope. It isn't from a pastor. It isn't from some religion. It is truly from Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have questions and you're looking for answers, or you're looking for hope, or you're looking for joy, or you're looking for peace, I'm just talking about, if you're truly searching this morning and looking for something, I want you to know that it only comes through Jesus Christ. Only comes through Jesus Christ. You'll never have peace without the King of Peace. You'll never have joy without the King of Joy. You'll never have forgiveness without the blood of Jesus Christ that can make you white as snow. Though your sins be as crimson, how many know this morning, he can make you white as snow, amen? So what you're looking for, and what the world is looking for, what America's looking for, it isn't in a man. It's only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and by the way, this to me, you might have got upset about this, but it's really kind of makes me, my heart race a little bit, because it tells me that people are searching. People are looking. They're wanting. As I watched the news and seen news anchors teary-eyed and Speaker of the House wiping his tears, I'm just telling you, people are searching. I mean, you can get upset about it all you want, but people are truly looking. And so as a pastor, and if you're a Christian this morning, as a Christian, that should excite you, because people are truly looking for an answer. I want you to know something. We have found the answer. Hallelujah. We have the answer, and it's Jesus Christ. So as I see people that are looking for something, man, to know that I have the answer, what a satisfaction. So people are searching. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, the Amplified Version says, seek, inquire for, require the Lord while he may be found. Claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. I believe. Now let me tell you something else. If you've not been around here in a little bit, or you're visiting this morning, since July 26th, we've had a strong church. I've been the pastor here since August of 96. God has done significant things. God has moved among us. Our church has grown. God's done great things. But just since July the 26th, we have had a move of God that has just been tremendous. We've had people up at the altar last week. People didn't leave the altar until a quarter till one. A quarter till one. I got done preaching about 11:35, and people stayed at the altar till a quarter till one. Now, if you know anything about church, you would know that that's abnormal. It shouldn't be, because look at the mess we've become. Look at America's mess, and we want to get into church and get out just as quick as we can. It will have service at 9:50, and 10:30, whatever. It just get you in, get you out, just as quick as you can. Give you peace of mind. Well, that doesn't bring us peace of mind. Only Jesus Christ can bring us peace of mind. And we know according to the scripture, and we know according to history, that when he moves among us, these might be steps. I'm going to tell you what else we call them. We call them altars. And it's good to go to the altar. It's good to go. Elijah, when they said, who is God? Is it Baal or is it God? Is it Almighty Jehovah God or is it Baal? And so he said, whoever answers by fire. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings that Elijah had to rebuild the altar. What does that tell us? It tells us that the altars weren't being used. And this morning I want you to know, these altars, we want them to be used. We want you to come to the altar. We want you to bow your knee. We want you to fall on your face. We want you to stand with hands lifted high. We want God to touch your life. So I'm encouraged when I see people come to an altar. Since July 26th, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we've had moves of God. We've had tremendous moves of God. God's been moving, and I'm assured that he's going to move once again around these altars. So I say this scripture with confidence. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's here this morning. Seek him. Call upon him. Let him touch your heart. If you're in chains this morning, let Jesus Christ break every fetter. Let him break every chain, break every bound. Whatever you're bound by, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit, let the blood of Jesus Christ, let the power of the Word of God become real to you, more than just a story, more than just a legend. It's truth. It's truth. And this truth will set you free. Come on and give God praise. Hallelujah. Call upon him while he is near. He is near this morning. He's as near as the mention of his name. Call upon him. His presence is here. Many times throughout the week and on Sunday mornings, I walk here and I go through the pews and I say, Lord, touch every person that sits amongst these chairs. Every person. That is you this morning. You are every person. You are here, and I believe God is going to touch you today. Maybe he has already, but I'm believing God will do a miracle in your life today. Hallelujah. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to seek him. It's our job to seek him out. If people are looking for him, then it's our responsibility to show them it's Jesus. He's here. We can seek him. We can find him while he is near. And we can tell others, hey, listen, Jesus can touch your life. Jesus can touch your life. I have many for instances, but let me key in on one this morning. His name is Bartimaeus. The Bible speaks of a story of Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 49. They came to Jericho and went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway. He was beside the road, and he was begging. And when he heard that this crowd that was coming, that Jesus was with them, Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And he began to say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me over here. I need some help. Jesus, hey, I'm over here. Can you see him in your mind's eye as Jesus is kind of walking along with the crowd, doing what Jesus does, healing the sick and touching those possessed by devils and setting people free? And if you got hungry, who knew what he might do? Just take a little sack lunch and feed 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 people. You never knew what Jesus might do. And the Bible tells us that they hang out with him just for that reason, that they came just to see a sign that they could follow Jesus. And you know, you never knew. He could tell you to cast your net on the other side. You'd bring in a haul of fish that nobody could believe. And matter of fact, he could even help you pay your taxes out of those fish's mouth. I mean, who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? Amen. And so they're just walking along following Jesus, and this one guy hears that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. The word is out. Jesus is moving. Jesus is healing the sick. He's here. You might as well, hey, call out on him. Call on him. Seek him while he may be found. Call out to his name. So Bartimaeus, along with everybody else, is thinking, you know what? I'm not going to let this moment pass. I'm not going to let this time pass. I want Jesus to touch me. Hey, 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 Jesus, I'm over here. And the Bible tells us, let's look what it says. And many charged him, verse 48, saying, hey, buddy. Let's just talk like we talk today. If somebody's making a mess and making a big bunch of noise, you walk up to them and say, hey, bud, you need to shut up. We don't say shut up in our house. Well, we say shut up in ours, so let me tell the story. So they walk over to Bartimaeus and they say, hey, shut up, bud. You need to be quiet. You need to hush. 1, 2, 3, be quiet. That may be what you do. We don't do that. We go, shut up now. Amen. So they said, shut up. Be quiet. The Bible says that he thought just for a moment, he thought, well, if I get quiet, come on, think what he's thinking. He said, if I get quiet, how's Jesus going to touch me? So the Word of God tells us immediately, instead of him holding his peace, look at what verse 48 said. He cried even the more a great deal. Hey, hey, be quiet. Hey, hey, shut up. Hey, hey, would you just hold your peace? Hey, Jesus, I've been blind too long. I want to see. Help me. I'm over here. I can't get to you. Can you come my way? Hey, would you be quiet? Hey, Jesus, I know you can touch my body. I know you can break the chains. Hey, would you shut up? No, I will not shut up. I won't be quiet. I want 1, 2, 3. I want Jesus to touch my body. I want God to touch me. He cried even louder, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, touch me, deliver me. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Just a few moments, if he would hold his peace, Jesus would have walked away. beyond earshot. I've got to call on him while he's close. I've got to call out on him while he's here. Hey, Jesus, I'm over here. Please don't pass me by. Touch me. Listen to this part. Jesus stops, stands still, and he says, hey, boys, do you hear somebody calling? Tell him to come over here. And they called the blind man, saying, hey, listen, son, be of good comfort. He's calling your name. Come on. All of a sudden, blind Bartimaeus, all those people told him to be quiet. He's like, I knew I'd get his attention. I knew he was going to hear me. I knew it. I wasn't going to get quiet. No way. No way. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus touches him. Call on him while he is near. He is here this morning. Call on him while he may be found. Seek him while he is near. Don't let him pass by without you seeking him. You say, well, pastor, people think I'm kind of weird. People, they'll think something's wrong with me. Who cares what people think? Who cares? Blind Bartimaeus was like, I don't care what you say. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you are a politician. I don't care if you are the disciple. Listen, I want to get a hold of Jesus. And I know if I'll yell just loud enough, he might just stop for a moment and call my name and deliver me. I've been in darkness too long. I've had these chains too long. And about the time you get sick of being where you're at, you'll begin to call out on the name of the Lord. And when you call out on him, let me tell you, he can save you. He can deliver you. He can break the chains. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to seek him, to call out to him, to come to him. I'm going to give you a few for instances. And when you get home, it's as easy as just opening up your Bible. This is how I did this week. Opened up my Bible, went along the chapter by chapter real easily, real quickly, just kind of gazed along, went along. I'm going to give you a few. I found them in Mark. They're all through the Gospels. Mark 5:22, Jairus. Behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he falls at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little girl's at the point of death. I pray, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she may live. Call on him while he is near. Seek him while he may be found. He's here, Jairus says. I know who you are. I know what you can do. You can break the power of death. You can heal my little girl. Are you listening to me this morning? The lady with the issue of blood, just a few verses down. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment. For she said within herself, if I could just touch him, I know that I'd be whole. She had made up her mind that she was going to get to Jesus. No matter who's in front of me, come hell or high water, I'm going to get to Jesus and I'm going to touch him. Because if I can get to him, I can be whole. Mark chapter 5. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed before him. I'm just telling you, if you want Jesus, it's your job to come to him. Mark 7:25, a certain woman who had a young daughter, she had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Are you getting the message here? Are you understanding the point? It's our responsibility to come to Jesus. It's our job to come and find Jesus and say, hey, listen, I know the situation in the world's bad. I know what's going on just isn't quite oil and God. I know you've got some things you want to do in my life. I'm going to come to you while you're near. I'm going to seek you while you may be found. I'm going to fall at your feet while your presence is here. He came to Bethesda, and they brought him a blind man. And that blind man wanted Jesus to touch him. Mark chapter 9, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought to you my son. He has a dumb spirit. I've tried everything. Would you heal my boy? Your disciples couldn't touch him. He throws himself in the fire and he throws himself in the water. And this devil wants to drown him. This devil wants to kill him. And let me tell you, John 10:10 tells us, the devil, the thief, comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan still wants to do the same thing. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. But I'm so thankful that the verse doesn't stop there with the period. That the Bible says, but God has come that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is a zeal for life, a love for life, a life that is blessed. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you favor. God wants to give you a zest for life. He doesn't want you walking around in the boo, 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 boo. God wants to touch you and deliver you. Where'd that come from? Blue, 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 blue. I don't know. Just reminds me of somehow how we have become. Gloom, despair, that old hee-haw song, An Agony on Me. deep, dark, and precious, and that's misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. God wants to touch you and give you favor. You are highly favored. You're a child of God. You seek him while he may be found. Let him touch your life. God wants to deliver you. Come on, amen. God wants to touch your life. You seek him while he may be found. You call out on him while he is near. During praise service, you need to be shouting the loudest. If God's touched you, God's healed your body, God's touched your child, you need to be, if God saved you, you need to be giving God glory. He brought you out. The Bible says in Psalms, I was in this horrible pit, but by his mighty arm, he has lifted me out and he has put me up on the rock. He has established my goings. He directs my feet. He directs every step I take. I've been young and now I'm middle-aged, the Bible says, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. God takes care of us. Come on, amen. God takes care of you no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. The grace of God can touch you, can deliver you. His power can set you free. There's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Though the world says no, it's gone, he's gone, he's dead, I can tell you there's still power in a resurrected Savior. I know that he delivers. I know that he touches. How do you know? Because he's delivered me. He's touched me. He's touched my children. He's touched my life. He's touched my church. He's delivered me. Come on and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, oh, Pastor, listen, we all have excuses. We all have our reasons why. We all have, well, this has happened. Well, Pastor, this has happened. This has gone on. We all have that. We all do, and some of them are legitimate. Last week I read you the story of the man by the pool, and let's bring it up. The Bible says at a certain time, an angel would come down to the pool and trouble the water. Look at somebody and say, the waters are being troubled. The waters are being troubled. God is moving right now. God is moving right now. Call on him. Seek him while he is near. Call on him while he may be found. He's here. Seek him. No excuses. Jesus comes up, and the waters, this angel troubles the waters, and whoever gets in first, the Bible says, they would be whole of whatever disease they had. Think of that. The waters would be troubled, and whoever could get in first to that first pool would be healed. So you'd lay right next to the pool, but it'd get hot on day one, hot on day two, hot on day three, so you'd roll back into the shade a little bit. You'd think, well, I'll just sit here, and if the angel comes and troubles the water, I'll crawl in real fast. I'll be the first one this time. This time I'll be first, and the Bible says he'd be troubled. This lame man that was there for 38 years could never get to the pool. He couldn't make it. Let's read. See what happens. A certain man that was there 38 years had an infirmity. When Jesus saw him, knew how long he had been there, he said, hey, buddy, do you want to be made whole? I've got a question for you this morning. Hey, you want to be made whole? You want Jesus to touch you? You want him to set you free? You want him to give you joy? You want him to give you peace? You want to give him a reason? Do you want Jesus to give you a reason to live? Huh? You want to have a smile on your face even when it's a horrible day? Do you know that only can come from Jesus Christ? You can have peace and joy and strength. Oh, a life of righteousness, that only comes through Jesus Christ and the blood of his of the shed blood of Calvary. Amen? Amen? He said, hey, do you want to be made whole? The man with the infirmity said, I don't have nobody to help me. When the water's troubled to put me in the pool, while I'm about ready to get in, somebody else, every time, steals my blessing. And they jump in the water. Right when I'm about ready to jump in, somebody else rolls in. Every time. Now listen, that's a legitimate excuse. That's good. Hey, I've been here 38 years. You think I want to be here? I have tried to get there. But yesterday it was 98 degrees. Humidity was 100%. So I rolled over in the shade a little bit. I thought surely he wouldn't trouble the water yesterday. And wouldn't you know it, about the time I rolled away from the pool, the angel comes down, troubles the water, and I'm just about there, and somebody else gets in. I don't have no help. I don't have nobody that'll help me. All these other people, they got family members. I don't have nobody. I've been here. My wife left me. I've been here 38 years. I don't got no job no more. I've been here forever. My kids think I'm a pathetic mess. Look at me. He had legitimate reasons. He had excuses, for real. I got nobody. I got no help. Well, Pastor, I'd come to the altar, but somebody might think I'm strange. God touches me, I get a little excited, and I go, woo, they might think I'm weird. If all you do is woo, we're in good shape. Amen. People talk about me. People talk about me mean. They have mean things to say. Pastor, I got excuses. I got it. And they're legitimate. They're reasons. They're not excuses. Really, I've got reasons. I'd come to the altar. I'd seek him, but I get embarrassed in front of crowds. I've been hurt at church. People gossip. People are mean. I've got real reasons. Jesus looks past all of that. Jesus looks past all of that and says to him, hey, verse 8, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Get up. Do you want this or not? I'm here to trouble the waters forever. Jesus is saying, I'm here. No longer is an angel going to trouble the water once a year. I'm here to let you know I'm troubling the waters every day by faith. If you want it, rise and walk now. And the Bible says he got up and began to walk, and God touched him, not having the waters troubled. I'm just letting you know, excuses, God can get past them if you can. God will touch you if you let him. God will deliver you if you let him. You have to want it. You look at somebody and say, do you want it? Do you want it? I mean, too many times, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 39, we are not of them who draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We are not of those that draw back. Have you ever tried to give something to somebody and bless somebody, and they go, no. You ever done that? Maybe you've been on that end. Say, here, I'm going to give you $10 for helping. No. No, I want to give you $20 for helping. No. I want to give you $100 for helping. Okay, I'll take that. You know what I mean? That's literally what that means. We are not of them that draw back. No. It's okay. God's saying, I want to touch you. I want to set you free. Listen to me. Don't be of those that go, not today. How about some other time? No, now. How about now? How about the Bible says this? Today is the day of deliverance / salvation. Today, now is the appointed hour. Right now. Today is your day. Now is the hour. God wants to touch you. God wants to set you free. God wants to heal your marriage, touch your children. God wants to save your parents. God wants to break every chain in your life. Listen to what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Now, if you'll listen to him. Today, hear his voice. Hey, Jesus. Hey, come on over here. I'm going to touch you. Come here. I want to touch your body. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Don't become used to the bitterness. Do not become used to the hard times. Don't become used to just having anger in your heart or that disease or that chain. Today, if you listen to God's voice today, he'll set you free today. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 Today. Pastor, why do we seek him? Because he wants to do great things in our life. He does. He wants to set us free. He wants to break the chains. We become accustomed to it. We get used to walking by the gate beautiful and seeing the lame guy. We get used to going to our house of prayer by the gate beautiful and to the gate of the temple and seeing the guy that had been laying there most all of his life begging for alms. We become used to the darkness. We become accustomed to it. We do. We become used to the child on drugs. We become used to the parents on drugs. We become used to our neighbors being in chains and fighting. We've just become used to it. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit. We just get used to the sin. We just get used to it. Years ago, our neighbors had dogs that used to get loose all the time. Anybody ever got neighbors like that? And the first place they'd come. It's kind of funny now because our dog gets loose once in a while. First place it goes over to their house. You know, just a pup, crazy pup. I say, Hannah, tie up your dog. Oh, Daddy. Oh, I can't, Daddy. It's supposed to be free. Get a cable, tie up that dog. That dog come over to our house about every other third, fourth day, get on one of our trash cans, turn it over, start pulling the trash out. Well, me being neighborly, being a nice guy, I hardly ever say anything because it's a dog. Dog's getting trash. And I just throw it back in there. We become used. We become accustomed to the chains. We become used to it. It's just, well, that's what happened. That's what the devil does. He brings chaos. He gets in people's lives. He messes them up. That's what the devil does. But listen to what Jesus does. He makes a reason for you to live. He gives you clarity. He gives you a purpose. He gives you life. He gives you joy. He gives you strength. He gives you happiness. He just blesses your life. The Bible says it like this: I'm blessed when I walk in, and I'm blessed when I walk out. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed when I go through that door, and I'm blessed when I come back in. I just want you to know that's what God does. He gives me life, and life more abundantly. He touches me. He delivers me. That's why I seek Him. That's why I call out on Him when He may be found. That's why we look to Him and say, "Hey, Lord, over here, over here. We know what You can do. Move in this place, God. Move in this place, Lord. Don't pass us by. Move in our lives." That's why we seek Him. Anybody can have an excuse, and they're legitimate, but His power is greater than your excuse. His power is greater than your hurt. His power is greater than those excuses and those reasons why. Let Him touch you today. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. Come on to Jesus. Let Him touch you. Let Him give you rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let Him do that. Let Jesus do that. Come on, amen. That's what He does. That's who He is. That's why those people came to Jesus. Why? Because that's what He did. That's what He does. He touches our life. He gives us rest. Amen. As our musicians come, I'm reminded of the story. I'm reminded of the story of the lady that was at the well. And He says to the lady, "If you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would ask Me for one, and I would give you water that would make you never thirst again." You might be thirsty, but this water will touch you and quench every thirst that you have. It'll touch your life. It'll set you free. Why I thought of that was, have you ever labored and have been tired? Have you ever worked real hard and you're tired? Anybody ever do that? Maybe got hot outside working. A few years ago, we was putting up some hay, me and the kids, and it seemed like the first couple times we had cut the hay that it was about the hottest it had ever been. Just plain old hot. You know that kind of day? It was like the hottest day of the year, and what were we doing? We went laying by the pool. We was putting up hay. Like 98 degrees. Perfect hay weather. Horrible weather for us to work in. And man, we was hot. And it reminded me of those days. It reminded me when I was younger, working for Grandpa Dale and putting hay up and being there by the tractor. And all them boys would get up in the barn. He'd say, "Hey, Mark, you stand by me." I'd say, "Thanks, Grandpa. I don't have to get in the barn." You say, "Well, what's the difference?" Well, when you're outside and it's hot, that's bad enough. But when you're inside the barn and it's hot, they was in the belly of hell, I'm just telling you. It'd be horrible. And they'd come out and they'd have hay all over them. I'd look at them. I'd say, "Oh, Jesus, touch them, Lord. Deliver them. Amen." It was horrible hot. And we'd be out in those fields and it'd be hot. We'd be putting up hay and it's just hot. We was out a couple years ago putting up hay and it's just hot. But boy, there's nothing like sitting under a tree and having Grandma bring you some fresh lemonade. Boy, what a refreshing time. What a good time. That's about the way it is with Jesus. He said, "Come to Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll let you sit under the tree. I'll bring you a glass of lemonade, and I'll set you free." Isn't that good? Isn't that what He can do? How many have experienced that time with Jesus? Man, when you were just laboring and doing all you could do to get things done in the hot sun, but all of a sudden Jesus come and set you in the shade, give you a nice glass of water, a nice glass of lemonade, and just touch your life and set you free. Well, that's what He does. "I will give you rest. Seek Me while I may be found. Call upon Me while I'm near. Look to Me. Look to Me," Jesus says. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Looking unto Jesus." Folks, we've got to look to Him. We've got to seek Him. Come to Him and say, "Lord, touch our life. Touch our lives, Jesus." Bow your heads with me, would you please? God, we are so thankful for Your touch. We are so thankful for Your healing touch, Your miraculous touch. We were there by the highway. We were blind. But because of Your amazing grace, because of Your touch, we were lost. Now we see. We were blind, we were lost, but now found. Blind, but now we see. Thank You, Lord, for Your amazing grace. Thank You, Lord, for touching us. Thank You, God, for the miracle of liberty, the miracle of freedom through Your blood. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we just want You to know we love You. And we're so thankful for the touch that You've given us. And we would pray, God, that if anyone was here this morning, and I know they are, and they're not right with you, God, I pray that you'd touch them, set them free. For those that are teetering on the fence, playing with the world, or deciding to give their heart to you, playing with fire, or giving their heart to you, God, I pray today would be the day that they make the decision. They're going to serve you for eternity. They're going to give their life to you for eternity. Touch them, God. Touch them. We come against the powers of darkness. We bind every stronghold, every demon that would try to influence them in a way of not giving their life to you. And Lord, we proclaim liberty. And we re-release ministering spirits into this room. Holy Spirit, we release you to touch every heart. Your word says that they cannot be saved, Lord, unless your spirit draws them and convicts them. So, Holy Spirit, do what you do. Lord, we give you honor and we give you glory. Move in this house. Move in this house and set people free. Set people free, every head bowed. You're here this morning and you're in chains. You're here this morning and you're playing church. Or you're here this morning and you love the Lord one day and you're not serving the next. Today is the day. Today is the day. You're going to make things right with God. You're going to serve Him. Well, Pastor, what will people think? Well, we've already covered that. We don't care what people think. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. It's time. Today's the day. Today's the day. If you're not right with Jesus, today is the day. Today is the day. Let's serve Him with all of our heart. If you're not right, you say, Pastor, I'm going to get right today. I want you to just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand real quick right now. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you, young man. I'm going to get some things right in my life. God bless you, young lady. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just raise your hand so I can see it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. Everything's okay. Everything's all right. Can I pray with you? Come on, if you're not right, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I see that. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, touch. Today. Today. Hallelujah. Those of you that raised your hand, everybody else heads bowed, look at me, would you please? You raise your hand. Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you in the back? Can I pray with you? Come on, I'll meet you right here. Come up here with me. Come on. No matter what everybody else is doing. If you raise your hand, I want to pray with you right here. Come on, encourage them. Come on, encourage them. You raised your hand. Come on, I want to pray with you. Come on. Real quick, we're going to pray with them. We're going to pray God sets them free. We're just going to pray. I'll confess my sins. If I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that God's raised Jesus from the dead, I can be saved. It's as easy as saying something like this, Lord, forgive me my sins. I invite you in my heart. We're going to say that. It's an easy confession. But then it's a life we give to God. You know what I'm saying? And I serve Him. And He forgives us all our sins. All our sins. So we're going to pray. Church is going to help me pray. Help me, Faith. You ready? Everybody say this from your heart with your mouth. Say, Dear Lord, I ask you today, forgive me of my sin. I invite you into my heart. I'm going to live for you, Lord. Deliver me from every sin. Touch my heart. Do a work in my life. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. Touch me, Jesus, and set me free. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross, shedding your blood just for me. And I give you glory, Lord. And I give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name. Amen. And amen. I love you. Would you just pray right here? Come on, somebody help him real quick. Touch his life, God, we pray. Touch Joanne's life, God, we pray. Anybody else, real quick? I feel like some people have missed it. God wants to touch your life. You're missing it. Real quick. You want God to touch your life? How many would say, Pastor, I'm going to seek the Lord while He may be found. I'm not going to let Him pass me without touching my life. Is that you? Come on, see if that's you, stand to your feet. Just those that are going to say, I want God to touch me today. I'm not gonna get quiet until He sets me free. I want Him to touch my life, touch my family. Come on, lift up your hands with me, would you? And go ahead and begin to call out on Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He is near. Oh, God, we pray. Move in our lives, Lord. Move in our lives, Lord. You're here. You're here in a great way. Touch us and set us free. Move in our lives, God. Move in our lives, God. We seek Your face. We call on You. Touch our lives, Lord. You know, the altars are open, and they're here for a reason. God, come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. God said He will give you rest. Come on, seek His face. Seek His face. These altars are open. You can bow your knee. You can stand. You can fall on your face. Whatever you need, you come to the Lord. Let Him touch you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him do a work in your life. Come on. Come on. Unashamedly, with hands lifted, heads bowed, knees to the ground, whatever it is you want to do, you begin to seek the face of God. Let Him touch your life. Come on. Surely more than this. Surely more than this. Come on, the altars are here. God's presence is here. Come on, come on. Seek His face. Seek His face. Oh, God, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altars are open. Come on. Seek His face. Call on Him while He is near. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God. Set us free, God. Set us free, Lord. Move in our lives, God. Move in our lives, Lord. Move in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah. Set us free. Set us free. Lord, touch us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus came. Hallelujah. While people are praying at the altars, I'm just going to let you know that I believe there's a lot of you standing there that God wants to touch and set free. God wants to move in your life. There's a reason why we have altars. There's a reason. Come on, I encourage you. I encourage you. Step out. Come on, step out. Let God touch your life, would you? As she begins to sing, oh, like the woman. Come on.
With the issue of love.
Come on. We press in.
We press in.
God can touch your family. God can touch your heart.
We press in.
And like the blind man waiting patiently. Come on. Oh, we press in. Come on. Through the crowd. Oh, yes.
And suddenly a touch from heaven.
Come on. Let right now be your suddenly.
Jesus,
let this morning be your suddenly.
Came and rescued me. Suddenly a touch from heaven. Jesus came. We press in.
sin through the crowd.
Then suddenly a touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued.
I'm not gonna let him pass me by. I'm not gonna let him pass me by. Hey, move in me, Lord.
And suddenly a touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued me. And suddenly a touch.
Touch us, move in us, Lord. Move in us, Lord. Move in us, Lord.
Suddenly a touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued me. Then suddenly a touch from heaven, Jesus came and set me free.
I want you just to lift your hands right where you're at. Those that are praying, go ahead and pray at the altar. You're standing, go ahead and just lift your hands. Say, oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Move in our lives, God. Move in our homes. Move in our churches. Move in our capital. Move in our White House. Move in our church house. Move in our church houses, God. Move, mighty God. Have mercy. Have mercy. And though the world says, be quiet, God, we call out even the louder. Oh, God, move in America again. Let it start right here, Lord. Forgive us our sin. Move in our lands, Lord. Heal us. Heal our land. We humble ourselves and pray, and we seek your face. Move in us, God, we pray. Move in us, God, we pray. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Send revival. Send revival. Send revival to America, God. Let them once again feel your presence. Cleanse us, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Move in us, God, we pray. And we give you honor. And we give you glory. For you're a mighty God, worthy of honor, worthy of praise, worthy of glory. And we give you strength, dear Lord, and power and riches and wisdom. All go to you, God. Mighty, mighty God, move among us, we pray, and we give you glory. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord and let him know how much you appreciate him. Oh, we honor your name, God. We honor your name, Lord. We honor your name, Lord. We honor your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 How many know he is worthy of our praise? He wants to do a work in your life. The Bible says that your eyes have not seen it, neither have your ears heard it. And I spoke of some pretty holy things today. But the Bible says your eye hasn't seen it or your ears heard, nor has it even entered into your mind what God wants to do for you. Isn't that awesome? The Bible tells us in Ephesians that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or even think. That the Amplified says imagine. So just let your imaginations go wild with what God wants to do in you. And the Bible says you can't even dream it. You can't even dream it. Oh, let God move in you. Let him move in you. Be that blind Bartimaeus. Hey, over here. Move in my life, God. Move in me. Amen. Amen. One more time before we go home. Come on, lift your hands and give him glory. Come on, give him praise. He's worthy of all your praise. What's he worth to you? Come on. Give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise. Give him the highest praise. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Come on, lift your voice to the Lord. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Oh, mighty God, we lift you up. We give you honor. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We know we serve a great God. Come on, why don't you give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Could you do that? Come on. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Woo! I want to encourage you to come out tonight, either help them or pray. We're going to be under the tent. We'll try to have lights for you to come around the front of the building and then just enter to the back, and we hope we have adequate room. If not, bring your lawn chair and we'll sit around the back, okay? We're going to have a good time in the Lord. We're just going to have a good time in the Lord. We're going to pray for the sick folk tonight. If you're sick, we're going to pray for a miracle or healing. So come out and join us tonight. You love the Lord? Any good